Dan, we open up the Shulchan Aruch Simen Samach Vav. The Mechaber tells some basic halachas about Hilchos Dan. Dan Mehina Chayla Okim, Shmeimi Dehorm. Also, Rechim Dam Shlil. Shlil means a fetus or an embryo inside the womb. Aval Dam Dogim. V'chagavim is mutter. Dam beitzim, this is one of the more halachal ma'isa parts. Im yadua shum erokam ha'efroach, chayavna lov. Avolam ein o yadua shum erokam ha'efroach, ein chayavna lov al'cham masruhu. This is, actually, machlok shum shonim had a paskin. It's clear that in some cases, us on mutter, or us on some level, mutter on some level, we are machmir, we say that dam beitzim, if it's from the it's in the student centers, the Hilchos Shabbos. If it's from the formation of the Efroach, right, the chick started being formed and there was blood as part of that embryonic chick, then that's dam mamish midoraisa. If it's just blood, sometimes there can just be blood in an egg because of, I don't know exactly why, but not because it's part of an embryonic chick, just blood forms in an egg, that's asur midrabbanan. Either way, it's asur nafkamina, just whether it's doraisa or drabbanan. Then in Sif Gimel, so now that we know that Dam Beitzim is Aser, again, whether Doraisa or Drabbanan, it's always Aser. How about the rest of the egg? So it brings down a chiluk from those different days in the Gemara, different interpretation of how to interpret the chiluk. But the Gemara assumes sometimes if there's Dam, the whole egg is Aser, and sometimes it's not. So what's the chiluk? So the Mechaber says, Nintale a kort Dam, you find one little speck of blood, Zorg Zadam Ochel Zashar. You can eat the rest of the egg, and that's only if you find it on the white. But if you find it in the yellow, then it traces up the whole egg. The Gemara calls shadi tichel v'kuli. If it's found in the wrong part, according to the Mechaber in the yolk, it spreads its iser through the whole egg. It's a little unclear what the problem is. If you find one drop of blood, why would that aser in some circumstance the whole egg? The Darkei Tshuva here brings down a whole machlokas about it. Some say that it's because even though there's only one speck of dam, it's ke'ilu, the dam is spread out, the koach, the dam, there's some part of the dam that's spread through the whole egg, so the whole egg is full of dam, even though you don't see it. Another shita says that no, if there's dam in the yolk, in the bad part, whatever, we'll see different shitas on that, then that's igloi milsa, that there's really a chick, an embryonic chick that you just don't notice. Therefore, the whole thing is usher because embryonic chicks are usher. Either way. I don't mean you happen to not notice it. I mean, it's not visible, but it's still called a chick. Safe.
I guess that's a license
today. Yeah, we'll get to it. So, anyway, clearly what we have here is that sometimes dam is just dam, and sometimes dam answers the whole egg, again, ayin v'darkei tshuva, either because we assume that dam is spread throughout the egg invisibly, or because we assume it's evidence of an embryonic chick that's likewise invisible. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with the Rambam brings up the problem that there are different deists to exactly which is the bad kind of dam, which is the good kind of dam. So v'yeshom, v'div nimsal kesher achelbom, v'gami v'chot, sanish espashim that kesher, v'chol aveitz asur, some people are machmir that even if it's on the white, if it's in the kesher, a little in the kesher, a little out of the kesher, then it asks the whole egg likewise. The kesher is, we'll see, part of the problem is we don't know what the kesher is, although someone could tell us based on science, but is the part where the embryo starts to be formed from. Like there's got to be one drop which actually has the genetic material that starts growing the embryo, and that's in a certain piece of, in a certain location of the egg. Now obviously that's in the yolk. But the sort of adjacent part of the white is called the kesher of the chelbon, the kesher of the white. And so if the blood, even if it's not in the yolk, if it's in the kesher part of the white and also spreads out adjacent to it, that's also evidence that this blood has somehow permeated or is evidence of a chick that permeates the whole egg and ushers up the whole egg. The Yeshmach Mir Node, and then there's so the first sheet that says only in the yellow it ushers the whole egg. The second sheet that says even if the white, if it's on the kesher and extends out of the kesher also. The Yeshmach Mir Node, the choshen inside of the kesher. Some people even super machmir, if it's on the kesher of the white, it answers the whole egg. And the Shach, the first explain, that we add to that one other problem, that Mizen is Pashat HaMidhad, or Sigmundinus, a lesser called Beit Shishish Vadam, Vein Mechalkin, Vein Chel Mechabad. And that's where our Minhag came from, Minhag Ashkenazim, well, I think it's Fardim also, to Aser any egg with Dam, we're Aser the whole egg. One of the reasons why is because we've been Machra if the Dam is anywhere on the yellow, or if it's on the white and the Makam, the Kesher. And we're not sure exactly where the Kesher is. Right? Some people say it's the top, some people say it's the bottom. You know, what's called the top, what's called the bottom. So, Lamaisa, to be on the safe side, any egg with a drop of blood is, the whole egg is pretty. Then he adds, which are not our makomos. Which have a minute to go by the ikar of din and say in this part only the dam is aser. But if in this part the whole egg is aser, then if it's a part where only the dam is aser, you also have to aser a kadei klipa around the dam. Okay, but our minhag is to aser any egg with a drop of blood. Now I'll apologize, but I realize that I should have put one more line of Rama on the Makor Shi, which I didn't, so we'll look at it together at the end of Dalid. At the end of Dalid, he says, the Rama, Becholze, Shinisha, Yadam, Bemakam, Ha'osro, Aval, if you have the fancy version, the second word of Rama on page Mem, Avalim, Ha'yisafik, Ha'yimakam, Ha'osro, Olo, Yesh, Lahatar, Ha'tarol, Veshol, V'lav, Ha'chichai, Betray, Batel, So he says, what kula does the Ramah give us? The Ramah gives us one kula. He says, even though we're machmir, that we're not bekiyim, and we don't want to be machalik, and we trape up any egg with dam, but does that egg trape up other eggs if it's cooked with them? So the Ramah says, look, if you know that this is Medina the Gemara, you know, we should read the whole Sukkah, because I really don't know. Scrambled eggs in a dish. And you find blood in one yolk. Says, once you scramble them together, and you find blood in the chelmon, in the yellow of one, that means its white is also aser. And therefore, the white combined with all the other whites, and it's tarovis. So, they're all trade. But if you didn't scramble them, they're just sitting there, broken, in a dish, and you find blood on one yellow, you could save the other yellows, just throw out the yellow and all the whites, because all the whites mix, but the whites didn't mix with the yellows. Okay, that's just mitzias. If they're sitting there, the whites mix with each other, but not with the yellows. If you scramble them, obviously they're all mixed. But the Ramah adds, here's the dim. Chozek sheyadina sheyadam b'makom ha'osro. When does an egg with dam aser a taroves? Only if you know that it's the kind of aser dam. Avalam ha'yasafi b'makom ha'osro lo. But if it's just that we're not sure if this is dam that asers it or not, because nowadays our minhag is to be unsure, we don't know any dam might aser the whole egg. Yesh lahatar taroves ho v'lav ha'chi chad betray batel. What does it mean, b'lav ha'chi chad betray batel? B'lav ha'chi chad betray batel, midoraisa. Right, midoraisa, one egg is batel and two eggs. It's only midrabanan that you need shishim. More shishim echad. It's only midrabanan you need shishim. Therefore, he says, if it's just the kind of blood that we're not sure if it asers the whole egg, then you can be makel as long as you have bitel doraisa to not worry about the tarovas. So that's the kula he says. If it's the kind of dam we're not sure about, and you have robed or rice, so you just don't have shishim, then you can be makel on the tarovas. Then he has b'chinus bashlo nitzel beitz leaving him makma. So same applies to roasting or cooking. This is where the minhag comes from. You might have heard from your grandmother, right? What minhag does your grandmother have? Well, when you make hard boiled eggs, you always hard boil three at a time, right? At least three at a time. Why do your grandmother, you never heard this from your grandma? Okay, why do your grandmother always think you have to hard-boil three eggs at a time? It's not a halakha, you can hard-boil whatever you want, but it's an eitz tova. Says, because what if you find dam in one egg? If you find dam in one egg, us Ashkenazim will trafe up the whole egg, and if the whole egg is trafe, then it won't be bottled with shishim in the pot, it'll trafe up the whole pot and all the other egg, and whatever else is there. so it'll shake up the pot. But if you boil three eggs together, assuming you're not going to find Dhamma two of them, that would be a coincidence that would get you in trouble. But if you boil three eggs and you find Dhamma on one, and it's the kind of Dhamma we're machmir on, but we're not sure whether it really shakes, right? The Dhamma itself is always less than a 60th. We're not sure if it shakes up the whole egg or not. So then we'll be machmir on that egg, but since it's chad betray butl, we won't be machmir on the other two eggs, and on the pot, and on the water. So we'll say the whole tarobus is kosher, and we'll only throw out that egg, so that's why she always hard-boiled three eggs at a time, to take advantage of this cool little round box, in case she found a blood spot after it was hard-boiled, and it was the kind of blood spot which we're machmir to ask for the whole egg. But we're not sure of the din. Then she would throw out that egg, but the other two eggs in the pot would still be kosher, because midoraisa is batel chad betray. Okay, that's where this minute comes from. I guess apparently sometimes it does, or else your grandmother wouldn't have that minute. I don't know. I'm not sure. Apparently sometimes it happened, or else they wouldn't have been chadish this minute.
We're worried about the time or the end here.
The time, because the be'en, meaning if you don't see a blood spot, then you're not worried. If you see the blood spot, you know which egg is the be'en. Oh, what about the time? So the time of the blood is less than a 60th. What about the time of the whole eggs? We're machmir, the whole egg is usher. So the answer is, since we don't rice, it's batel b'rov, we'll be mako, that it won't ask for the whole tarobus. Okay, what about nowadays? This is all in the old days. How does this relate to us nowadays? So let's skip to Zion. Beitem ha-muzoros. Right, muzoros means it doesn't really matter what the physical signs are. Muzoros means, I think the Shach points out, unfertilized. Right, unfertilized eggs. So, unfertilized eggs. Afilu yashra tarnigol leim yom harbi motul ochum avach yizra kadam. Unfertilized eggs, even if they have a blood spot, you can eat them, even if the hen sat on them for a long time, which they don't nowadays. And they used to be a little disgusting, unfertilized eggs. Nowadays, I think unfertilized eggs taste as good as fertilized eggs because we don't let the hens sit on them or something. I don't know what it is. But lamaisa, unfertilized eggs, you can throw out the dam and eat the rest. Meaning this whole chumrah that the dam asters the whole egg only applies to fertilized eggs. Because in fertilized eggs, then that could be going milk, so it was spread throughout the whole egg. But in an unfertilized egg, all it is raw material. If there's dam, there's just dam. It doesn't show anything about the whole egg. So in unfertilized eggs, this whole chumrah doesn't apply, and you throw out the dam and eat the rest. That's why nowadays, your grandmother boiled hard-boiled three eggs at a time, but nowadays, often you might anyway, just because, you want to feed a lot of people. But we're not mocked on it, because nowadays, all our eggs, except nowadays, people are going back to nature, and they're starting to eat organic, and free range, and all kinds of other Vodazoridic stuff. but for most of us nowadays, you go to the store and you buy regular tnuva or whatever they call in America eggs. Those are unfertilized. Those hens have nothing to do with roosters. They're all, it's Rachmanis on the hens, but they're all like programmed and on clocks, and they have Shabbos clocks, and they have hormones and everything. That they don't care about how roosters used to live when Hashem created them. They care about how to turn them into egg factories. Okay, whether that's nice or not is not the issue. Lamaisa, certainly they don't want to interfere with the routine by having a mating between hens and roosters. So all of the eggs are unfertilized. So nowadays, you can ignore Sif Gimel and Sif Dalet, and if you just see Dam, you throw out the Dam and you eat the egg. Except for Rav Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein writes in the Shut Igris Moshe, yeah.
Are free range eggs mean there are hens and roosters all around and just find the eggs wherever they are?
Free range eggs means the hens I'm not sure, but free-range eggs means instead of keeping them in a tightly controlled environment with hormones and with Shabbos clocks to, make them lay quicker, right? They cut down to 24 to 23 and 22 and whatever to get more production out of them, all kinds of other things. It means they just live naturally on the farm, like in the old days. So I would think that I would be choshesh that the male and females live together, although I don't know if that's the definition of free-range. So I don't know. You have to ask someone. Lamaisin, regular eggs. So, you just throw out the dam and eat the rest, except where Moshe Feinstein writes in the Shot Igros Moshe, it's not in your day, it's in Chelik Orachayim, Chelek Gimel Simen Samach Aleph, or Chaim Chelek Gimel Simen Samach Aleph, he writes that nonetheless we're no hag nowadays to throw out the whole egg as a chomer v'alma, even though our eggs are unfertilized. Why? He says, look, we're no hag nowadays because, for us nowadays, throwing out an egg is not considered hefsid at all, even a hefsid k'tas. For us nowadays, we don't think twice about throwing out an egg. It's like throwing out a piece of paper. It doesn't mean anything to us to throw out an egg. Therefore, we have a minhag to be machmir that even our unfertilized eggs, since it's so easy for us, if we developed a minhag to be machmir and throw out the whole egg anyway. Like in case, maybe it might have been fertilized, maybe this, maybe that. So even though medina, our eggs are unfertilized, just throw out the dam and eat the rest. The minhag is to throw it away because it's not because it's only hefsek tzas, because it's not even a hefsek tzas. It's like, for us, an egg is free. I mean, certainly for us, I mean, how much do you go to buy, how much these egg costs by the time you buy from the store? Like 10 cents or 15 cents or whatever? You don't think twice about it. So that's why we have the minhag. The important napkamina is, the minhag is, first of all, some people who are poorer don't have that minhag, but the minhag is to throw an hefsid, it's not a hefsid at all. But Lu Yatir was a hefsid, then you wouldn't, look, oh, I didn't ask for Moshe about this, but let's say you ran out of eggs, and you had one egg left, and you needed to make something with it, so look, or he would be mekel, then it would be difficult to throw out the egg. But let's say you already mixed the egg into something else, and you have to throw out a whole, Duncan Hines and whatever. So then Rav Moshe wouldn't say, he would just say, pick out the dam, throw out the dam, and eat the rest. But all is being equal. If you stop, crack the egg, and you see some dam, and, what's the big deal? To have another egg? So we're no hag to be a machmir, just to be on the safe side. That's the halakha l'maisa of Zman Hazeh.
So dam is Zman Hazeh is bale? It's
the dam itself is still dam beitzim, even though it's not fertilized, so it can't be merokim hafroach. Obviously, it's not from a chick, because there is no chick, but it's still dam beitzim, which is asur midrabanan. It's my whole Yerushalayim, but that. So we would pass from the dam is still asur midrabanan. Just it can't be negloy milsa that spreads throughout the whole egg, because it's not a fertilized egg.
But if you can't get it, let's say you mixed it and it was like, it's really like hard to get it out, and it's this big hefsed merubah because you bake this, you have this huge mixture of.
Oh, well, we passing the dam is mamash asur drabanan. So if it's mamash asur drabanan, then you have to use the regular rules of tarobis, meaning if you see any red, you have to get it out.
Yeah.
If you don't see the red and it's spread in, then the stomach's batal b'shishim because these things are pretty small. But it's a real, the dam itself is still a real asur drabanan, the way we pass it. Yeah. No, it's really dam beitzim is asur midrabanan. The rabbanan made again. It's not someone for shas, but there's a stira. So yes, whether dam beitzim is asur or motor. One day Tosu says asur midrabanan motor doraisa. So dam beitzim, even unfertilized, really, the dam is really asur midrabanan. Not according to all Rishonim, but according to us.
Do you have to check
that it's a miyushin matzoy today? So I'm not thinking of the check if it's a miyushin matzoy. Everyone argues like everything else. Everyone argues that it's a matzoy or not. But lachor, it's very uncommon that you actually have blood in the egg nowadays. I'm not sure why that is. Is it because they're unfertilized, the blood is less common, or the blood is just as common, but they check it before they sell it or something, for whatever reason. The blood is not common, so lachor me'ikra din, you don't really even have to check. But most people check the eggs for dam. Right, that's a minute ago, same be a day, make sure all kadoshim hang. But me'ikra din, I mean, it seems to be like only, 1 or 2%, 3%. I don't know, you should check. Do an experiment at home with your brand of eggs. But most people check the eggs for dam, and then are no hate to throw out the whole egg. But, both those are just, the second one is a chomer b'yam, which anchored in Rav Moshe. The first one is just chomer b'yam, the people do. No.
I just want to know, why is this not the rice? Is this back from a drosha, or?
Dam beitzim, because the pasuk says dam of certain things, asur lo'okla behemah, etc. And a beitza is not considered, those are the same as dogim v'chagavim. Right? Dogim v'chagavim is just, that's not in the pasuk. So the beitza is also, and you might have said a beitza is part of the oath, but l'maisa, we say a beitza is a separate entity, and is not, don't write it unless it's be'rokam ha'afroach, then that's a different story. I mean, it's more complicated than that. We talked about sukkim. Okay. Just to briefly finish up this simon, we'll skip the tes and yud. Dam dugin. Apvishu mutter in kids of pli osvishamara to ayin. Fika unikashu we dugin. Ishvoskas kasim mutter. we remember all this from the Power of Milk, right? But this is where it all where all the kashrus started from, right? Fish blood is still osur mishamaris if it's in the fish, the seder. But if it's in a cup, it's osur mishamaris unless you put scales in it. And your dam adam, what about dam adam? So that's also mutter. But osur mishamaris ayin, it says in Pirish Menu osur mishamaris ayin, if it's still in the person, then that's how could be maris ayin. But if it's sitting on a, even if it like gets on your food, right? Let's say your lip is bleeding and the blood gets on your bread, then that's also mishum maris ayin. That's the example. So what's between your teeth? You could just suck and swallow. But if it gets once it gets on the bread, that's already maris ayin. And of course, b'di'evet, first to point out, the tarobes is not usher, it's only marathayim, and once you sorry, you can't see it anymore. Right? So if some dam adam, or dam dogma, or dam chagavim, I guess, gets into a tarobes beseder, but be'en, it's usher mishum marathayim. Poskim also discuss the, I forgot the some place here, the Poskim, maybe it's not on the daf. Okay, some posts from Radaic, I can't find it on the dot, that the example says mutter is sucking it from between your teeth. What if it was, you know, on your hand or something? So many posts can say, no, that's also within the iser. Even though, like, on your hand, you might have thought, well, it's sort of obvious that it's your dam. No, sometimes your hand can get dirty with what of behemoth also. So so many posts can restrict the heter here to dam in your mouth, you could suck because that is invisible. But to mamish, you know, suck unless someone's dying of snake poison, whatever. But blood out of a wound, besides obviously being a little disgusting, could be within the maris ayin. Popes can discuss.
I noticed the shiur yesterday. Why isn't just iser of blood at all for you, why is it not
iser? Because the gemara darshes l'psukim, it only includes behemoth and chayas and not people. You have to be in the gemara. They darshes l'psukim. Yeah, that's pointed out by the Gilead Marsha points it out here, and the other people. Yeah, anything that's Osmer Shemar Zayin is Osmer Chayim Fadar. You don't even need to say that. Okay, Simon Samach Zayin also gives us some basic halachas of Dan. The Shulchan Aruch begins, with Dan behem v'chayim nami, ein iser kareis el v'dam ha-nefesh and ha-shama yotzis. Well, the iser, everyone knows Dan is chayim kareis. So even within Dan, Samach Vav discussed Dan of different beings, which were usher and which were mutter. Now, it's Mazal Zayin, within dam of a behema, which is real iser dam, in what cases is it chayv karis, in what cases ola without karis, in what cases is it only usher midrabana, or not usher at all. So, Simon Samazayin, Zayin, b'dam behema chayin nami iser karis el b'dam nefesh and neshama yotzei tzbo. Abel dam eivarin eino el b'lo saseh. So, the karis is only the dam that it dies from. You know, you chop its head off and the blood comes down. Only that dam is usher b'karis. The dam of eivarin, the dam that's just like when we talk about malicha, right? You get out the blood. That blood that's in the flesh of the animal is only, quote unquote, only alive. There's no chiyuv karis. The hani milik shapirish min eiv v'yatzul l'chutz o shenitzar v'chatichol shapirish min komunis or lotzeh v'nivlo makam achir. And there'll be a big machlokas how to interpret that line from over to now. Have a low pirish, a low nitzer and butter. When is dam ha'ibarim alav? If it either started to flow out of its place and got halfway there, and you know it moved from one part of the meat to another part of the meat. Let's say, I don't know, you took meat and you cooked it without malicha. So you're forgetting about the issue of cook. So the dam went out of one part of the meat and into another part of the meat. That would be Pierce when Avioto Chas. If you squeeze it out of the Aver, that's the first case. Sorry. Ocean Nitzer, or it becomes a black and blue mark. What does the black and blue mark mean? A lot of blood pools under the skin, or however exactly works. That's also considered separated out. Or Pierce from Mokum Mimkom of Nis or Lotzes. It's left one part of the flesh and moved into another part of the flesh to start leaving, but never made it out. This we'll see is a big machlokas, machaber in the shach, whether this only applies if this happened while it was alive or even after it died. But we'll get to that in great detail later. The look pierce long term mutter. If the blood is right where it still is, it's mutter. Meaning, if you took raw meat from an animal and ate it without belicha, I'm not sure if you enjoy it so much, but that would be mutter. Dam ha'ivarim shalo pirish is taka mutter. Legamre. You can eat it with all the blood. Because then it's still considered part of the meat. It's only usher if it was pirish from the meat. How could it be pirish? Three possibilities. Either it mamish came out and you collected it in a cup, or it formed a black and blue mark, so there's like meat then with this big black and blue mark. Or it, and this is more of a halachic abstraction, I mean, it's a physical abstraction, but it's moved from within the meat, from one part to another part, but didn't come out.
Let's
move on to the last one. Omer? No, these are all doraisa. These are all the rice. Lefikach, therefore, the Machaber says, Motzer lachol basar chayva, adach lo melicha. You can eat raw meat, just rinsing it off without salting it. You have to rinse it off because there might be the end dam that came out on the surface. But you can eat raw meat without melicha. Vachlo yimuchutin shadam behem. Shadam shimuchutin kanez bomikli. As long as it doesn't have veins, as long as it doesn't have blood vessels, because blood vessels are considered as if it was pirish and sitting in a cup, because it's in the blood vessels, behem. But if you don't have any blood vessels in your meat, then you can eat it raw without melicha. Gimel. Yeah. Again, most people just don't enjoy it, but it's not a halachic problem. Gimel. The hachover mafrakta shal behema also lechem mibsarachai. Elam kein mocha yafa v'adim melicha motar fil ukdeira v'lefli motar fil below melicha. If you're shover mafrakto, meaning you break. Normally, when you shecht an animal, the normal thing to do is you just cut the simanim, the trachea and the esophagus, the kun and the veshet, and you don't break the spinal column. The reason shochtim normally don't do that is because the spinal column has bones, which might be pogame the socket, and that would cause various halachic problems. But you just cut the simanim. When you cut the simanim, the main like arteries and nerves behind are still functioning a little, and the blood continues to flow. The heart will pump a few more times, and the blood will continue to flow normally as the animal bleeds to death. But if you're shover mafrakta, if you break the neck, then that I guess the heart stops pumping because it loses the signals from the brain, whatever, and the blood. And the blood is, the third case here, it's orelosis lo yotze. The blood starts flowing, but doesn't flow properly, so it moves from place to place through the capillaries, but doesn't get out. So then you have the case of, which we mentioned, the third example of dam shepirish in Seif Aleph. Again, it's not that the blood totally came out. Whatever blood came out, you'll wash off. It's not that the black and blue mark. You don't get a black and blue mark, but what you get is that the blood of that animal, if you break the neck, starts moving through, but doesn't move through properly, so it moves from place to place within the meat. And therefore, that's considered dam shepirish and asur, and that creates two reserves. Number one, you can't eat it raw, because it's dam shepirish, you have to salt it. And number two, now there's higher requirements for melicha, because the dam is more ingrained. The higher requirement is that, the mechaber doesn't give higher requirements, he just says you have to salt it well. Or, and then you can cook it or roast it. But the Ramah says, "V'nogu l'hachmir l'chot chol amolcho at bitzli," that you have to cut it before salting it, and you have to cut it and salt it even if you're roasting it. So there's high requirements for getting rid of the dam because it's more ingrained. Likewise, if you cut a piece of meat off the neck before the animal stops moving around, then the blood in that piece of meat will have been pierced from makom l'makom. And you won't be able to eat it raw because it's pierced makom l'makom, and it'll be harder, according to Ashkenazim, to get it out. You'll have to cut it and salt it. Not just salt the whole piece, we'll have to make a little cut in it so to make it easier for the blood to leave. And you'll have to salt it even before roasting it. Some people say that lechatchila, you shouldn't break the neck of an animal or stab it in the heart to, you know, when you shecht an animal, it can still move a little. So what if you're impatient, you want it to stop moving, so you could break its neck or stab it in the heart. Some people say, lechatchila, you shouldn't do this at all, because maybe there's that lechatchila b'choshesh, it'll get the dam stuck in the animal and won't come out properly. So v'di'evit, we just say, you have to cut it and salt it well. But lechatchila, you should. This is what shochtim lechatchila do, by the way. This is halacha l'maisa. They never break the neck or stab it in the heart. They just let it run around till it dies, or bang it over the head. Okay, that's separate inyan. Shouldn't be on tape. Okay. The dalid nitra damachos maka. Likewise, the same problem as if you have a black and blue mark. That dam is more ingrained. Now you can't eat it raw, and you have to work a little hard to get the dam out. Also, levashlo achiyachto yachtoch hamakom v'yim lechenu yapa v'al mutter litzloso beimishpo bein rabbi chol mafil lochitoch. Then, in order to salt it, you have to cut it to make sure that the salting gets all the dam out. But for the mechaber, roasting, you can roast it whether on coals or on a spit, even without any preparation. Some people say, the Rama is machmir, that you should either take a little klipa off the neck where you did the shechita, or make a cut in it to make sure all the dam goes out there, because it could become a black and blue mark when you shecht it. Okay, that's details that are not so negay to us in our everyday life. We won't go into the psakel lachlamaisa here. Now, I think we have a little introduction. Simon Samaches, by the way, is very important. But we already dealt with most of the inyanim. It's about maliga, right? Maliga means if you want to defeather it, you want to put it in boiling water to make the defeathering easier. But the problem is, if you put it in boiling water before malicha, it'll cook the dam into it. And we already dealt with a lot of these issues, klisheni, iroi, etc. So we won't cause them now. Simon Samaches, we're ready to start helchus malicha. The first halacha comes to the Gemara in Chulin. Dafkofi Gimel, tzorech ladiach habasar kodem malicha. You have to wash the meat before salting. That's actually the first Gemara. If the butcher washed it, you don't have to wash it. Again, nowadays, most people, the butcher washes it and salts it, and you never deal with this at all. But some people still salt their own meat. So you have to wash it unless someone had washed it already for you. This is the Hadacha Kamaisa, the Hadacha Rishonim, the first Hadacha. It's a big machlos Rishonim. The Shach brings down here 3 days. By the time they bring the Gadim, not done with the Ruzias, there are 6 days. I think we'll stick with the 3 days to shock me now. As to why you have to do the Hadacha Rishona, why do you have to wash it before you salt it? Anyone? Why?
The Bain.
Okay, well, that first told us to make it softer. Right? Who says that in the Shach? The Ran. Right? The Ran says to soften it. Yeah, we're not going to The Ran says to soften the meat so that you have to make it soft so that the salting will work. The salt is supposed to penetrate through the whole meat and get out all the blood. Often it's very hard, it's not going to work. So therefore, if you soak the meat in water and soften it first, then the salt will be able to penetrate through. Give me another. Who has another day? What did the Mordechai say? But clean up the outside, but what? Exactly. So the salt won't be. What's his word? Nizmali mimenu. Shuvlo yotze. So the salt won't be used up by the dirt, by the surface dirt. Right? The Mordechai says that, you know, there's a lot of dirt, whether it be dam or other things on the surface. The salt will get filled with all this dirt on the surface and won't be able to penetrate, will lose its hook, won't be able to penetrate properly. Therefore, you wash it off, the salt goes straight in without being distracted. And then he goes from the smack and the smog, right? How about the smack and the smog? Exactly. It's to remove the Dam be'en. On the surface, so it won't trape up the meat. And this is a principle that Malicha gets all the dam out of the meat. Malicha only works the dam that's absorbed inside the meat, like in the capillaries or wherever the dam is absorbed inside the meat. Dam be'en, Malicha won't help you for it. You know, if you take a sandwich and you take a piece of meat and smear blood on it and then put another piece of meat, and there's blood in the middle, Malicha won't get rid of that dam. Malicha doesn't get rid of dam be'en. It only gets rid of dam that's nivla inside. So the problem is, all meat has dam be'en on the surface. Because when you chop up the animal, it gets bloody. And if you leave that blood, then not only won't the salt remove that dam be'en from the surface, but maliach groteach. It'll just take that dam be'en on the surface and drive it into the chaticha. And we haven't learned all the details yet, but according to the Svagnus Mach at least, blood that came from the outside be'en and was absorbed through malicha won't ever come out again. So then you'll be in big trouble. Your chaticha will become treif. Those are the three reasons, at least as quoted by the Shach. What's the nafkamina between these reasons? So what if you already forgot to do it? Malach kfar lihadocha. What if you forgot to do it? Then, again, the Primogodim questions all this. Let's just take the way the Shach and the early Achronim understand it. If you forgot to do hadocha and you just salted it, then what should it be? Right, mutter, rather, what does mutter mean? Mutter, like you can
do it
cook
again.
It?
No, you do it again.
Exactly. Salt it again. Right, after all, according to the Ran, the salting just didn't work. Okay, so salt it again. According to the Mordechai also, the salting didn't work, right? So the salt all lost its power. So just salt it again. But according to the Smag and the Smach, the salting worked for inside the Chaticha, but then it took the dam outside the Chaticha and was mavliyah into the Chaticha. Now it's stuck there, and now it's just treif. That's one nafkamina. What's another nafkamina? That's a big machlokas. But that's the Smag and Smach. We'll get to it. Well, let's read on a little more Shulchan Aruch, and we'll see more nafkaminas. So let's start again the Shulchan Aruch. Tzarech ledicha basar kodem malicha v'yidicha atabachim tzarech ledicha v'vayisim achar sheidia chotach kol netach l'shnayim l'shlosha. If you rinsed it and then you chopped up the pieces again into smaller pieces, o sheheser tabar aglayim l'achar adacha, or you cut up the hooves, which is the same thing. To cut up the hooves, you're just cutting the leg into half, to two pieces. If you rinse it, if you wash it, and then you chop it in half, you have to wash it again. Okay, does this ban the Ramah? As you lost, it can't have to go over the cloud. And if you don't wash it again, then it's like it wasn't washed, and it's a problem. So should this depend on the reason for the Hadachah? Like, what would you think? If you chopped it in half, do you have to wash it again? If you chopped it in half?
No.
What? Not according to thee? Exactly. If you chotach kol echad b'shnayim, you chopped it in half, according to the Ran, you don't have to wash it again. Because it's just the soft. It doesn't get harder when you chop it in half. It's still soft. So if you say it's for softening, then you don't have to try, then why should you have to wash it again? But if you say it's for cleaning, then what happens after you chop it?
It's dirty.
That surface is dirty again, right? You have clean surfaces, you chop it in half, you create a dirty surface in the middle, because when you chop it, the blood comes out and it... So if you said it's to clean the surface, then you should have to wash it again. How do we paskin? You have to wash it again. Because we apparently paskin, we'll see if this works out, hopefully it should. The main reason is because we want to clean it.
Wouldn't the rhymes agree that you have to wash the side you just cut?
No, it's all soft. If you soften it, it's all soft. So who cares if you cut it? It's still soft. Right? If I take some, if I take a book and I soak it in water and it gets soft, if I cut it in half, it'll still be soft.
It's the whole thing through and through.
So that's the Prima Gada wants to say. There's different dais where you're only softening the outer surface of the whole thing through and through. It should be enough to be enough. But let's stick with what it sounds like from the Ron. You're softening the whole thing, which we'll see in a moment. Let's continue then. Hadachas abasa l'chachila yizar l'shrosa negir chatzi shal l'adiche heitev b'mei ashriya. L'chachila, what does hadacha mean? Washing. There's many different ways to wash something, right? You send your kids up to take a bath and you realize there's many different interpretations of what it means to wash. So, hadag is a basha l'chachila, yizar l'shrosa negir chatzik shal l'adicho heitev me'ashriya. You have to soak it for half an hour, and then rinse it off with that water, like take it out of the water, you have to soak it for half an hour, and really rinse it with that water. Abalom lo shro, rak yidicho heitev, but if you just rinsed it, and you didn't soak it, then you need soaking or not. Sagile, then, that's enough bidyevet. So now, should this depend on what we've discussed? Should you need to just rinse it, or should you need to soak it? Hey, it's not mochrach, but what might you think? So, what is hadacha? Who is most likely to say you need to soak it for half an hour? Right, so Ran, you would think, should fit the shita that you have to soak it for half an hour. Because if you want to soften a piece of meat, you can't just put it under the water for a second. That's not going to be, you have to let it soak there. What about the shita that said you're just trying to clean it? It's hell if you, the longer you soak something, the cleaner it gets, in a chanami, but you'd think, at first glance, if you just want to clean something, you just wash it. Right?
Do you think that soaking could be worse?
What?
Soaking might actually be worse for you, because soaking in the...
Yeah, I'm not sure. You have to ask a physicist or something. I'm not sure. So, and how does the Ramah Paskin? How do we Paskin? You need just Hadacha, or you need to soak it for half an hour? So we say, Lechachila. Soak it for half an hour, but Bidiyeved. It's okay if you just washed it, which fits our psak in the first nafkamina, meaning if me'ikra din we paskin, not like the Ron's reason, apparently, me'ikra din we paskin, it's not to soften it. We're mach, we're l'chadchila for all the reasons. Wonderful. But b'di'eved, me'ikra din we paskin, it's to clean it, and therefore, if you cut it, you have to wash it again. And therefore, if you just did adacha, b'di'eved, you'll say, because at least it's clean. So it seems like that we're choshish for the Ron's mahalach, but me'ikra din we hold that we're trying to clean it. Now, what exactly does it mean that that if you, it's enough if you just soaked it a little? So the Shach says in Sukkot and Hay that that he's mechalik between two different madrigos. He says if you washed it well, then once you wash it, you don't have to soak it again. If you just washed it a little, then you should do it again, but it's already been salted and it's too late, then you can be guilty with just washing it a little. So he's mechalik, it's a little funny. Like, what does it mean, b'di'evet, it's okay? B'di'evet, once you wash it, you can go ahead and salt? No, b'di'evet, if you salted it and it's too late, then you can eat it. So the Shach makes a pshara, this is a big machlok zachronin, but the Shach's pshara is, if you washed it really well, then b'di'evet, once you washed it well, that's good enough. You can go ahead and salt. But if you only washed it a little, then don't go ahead and salt. But if you already salted, then you can eat it. That's the Shach's pshara. Not everyone agrees. But I think many achronim agree with him. The Ramah continues. V'acharkach yamte ma'at shi'tato ma'in kodin shem l'imuchenu shlo yimas ha'melech v'namayim v'lo yotzi dam. Right? If you want to know how to practically salt, right? You're home, you want to salt meat. So first you take a bucket and you soak it for half an hour and you wash it off really well. Then you wait a little while till it finishes dripping. right, till the main water drips off, because you don't want, if you put the water on when it's soaking wet, the salt on when it's soaking wet, then it will just, the salt will melt immediately and will never get into the piece of meat. So yeah, you can't salt it when it's soaking wet. You have to let it dry a little. But the Shach points out, like now to man is forgotten of other fushing am to adjis nagiv legamrin. Those will give us a clavel yotzi dam. But don't wait till it gets totally dried out, because if it gets totally dried out, then the salt won't melt at all. So you want it to be moist. If it's moist, the salt won't melt and just pour right off. But on the other hand, it'll melt a little and be able to penetrate into the meat. The Rav Priman got him pointed out here that he's actually here giving a fourth reason why you wash it. Maybe you wash it so it'll be moist and the salt will melt a little. But he says that's not given by any of the Rishonim, because me'ikar din, that's just l'chachila. That's not the real reason al pi gemara. Okay, so you should, again, if you're practically salting, soak it for half an hour, wash it well, take it out, let it finish dripping so it's not soaking wet, but don't leave it for like a day till it gets totally dry. The nagu, shalol shamash bar machim, please shor and basar. Now, anyone want to tell me, how luckily, what's the status of the bucket you soak the meat in? Is the bucket become treit?
Depends how long you soak.
Well, you soak it for half an hour.
No,
because it's not covered in bushel until 24 hours. So, halachically, that bucket is totally kosher. But nagu, the minig is, shalol l'shtamish bar machim, b'klish shor and b'basar. The minig is that we don't use the soaking bucket for kosher food. The minig is that we have a special bucket or kli or whatever we have for soaking the meat, and we treat that as ke'ilu treif, and we don't use it for regular food. That's not, doesn't make sense, I'll be dead. That's just our minhag.
For kavush, why doesn't it take 24 hours for the blood to get into the water, then an additional 24 hours for the water? Then why do we say it's all one shiur?
We do. Look, read the next line. Be'im, nishtahe ha'basr v'shios me'isleis. One second. If you soak the meat for 24 hours, ha'basr v'gam ha'kli asur v'ayin l'kam and simen zen. Look later on. It says, if you soak it for 24 hours, not only is the bucket usur, right? Because the bucket is absorbed through kavush dam, the meat's also usur. Because the meat, through kavush, the dam came out into the water, went back into the meat. Now that it came out and went back into the meat, it's dam shepirish, and it's going to be usur d'oraisa, and you're not even going to be able to get it out through malicha.
That's not my question, Ali. How come we don't say it takes 24 hours for the blood to get into the water? And then additional 24 hours from the watery blood to get into the keli. How can we say it's all one process? Because it seems like there's a step in between. It looks like, you know, not bar not
I hear what you're saying. I'm going to answer you that we paskin kavish is matzlim avliya ke'echad, but it doesn't actually answer your question. The answer might just be that that's how it works. It's working on it all at the same time.
Are we not there sometimes for malicha
to be? There's no malicha. We're just soaking the meat. All we're doing is soaking it in water. So that's clearly, in less than 24 hours, nothing's going to happen. Right, but if it's less than 24 hours, then there's no hakpad al bidin. Obviously, the meat remains kosher. And the meat remains kosher, and the kli remains kosher, except for this minute. The af, the... the af... the makam shenesar kli motor lachs over lishros bo. And even if the kli became treif through kavush, you're still allowed to use it to soak meat in. That's an interesting chiddush. This ties into the taz we saw, the shachas of Tzadi Aleph. Says, even in a case where you soaked it accidentally for 24 hours and the kli became treif, you can still use it for continuing to soak meat, because even though it has been boleya, a taste of treif dam, that taste is not going to come out because you're using it in cold. And you're allowed to use it for cold. It's sort of interesting. I'm not sure why in Siman Tzadi Aleph the Shach says b'kviyas you shouldn't use a treif kli for cold, and here he allows you to use a treif kli for cold b'kviyas. Unless the answer is that here it's a very specific use which you set aside and don't combine with normal uses anyway, and therefore we're not worried that it's gonna, you know, you're gonna come to use it normally like for hot food, etc. Din basher shemalei kerach it's nungim shiyasa ayin le'el siman tzamaches. Okay. So that's the basic halachos of Hadacha Rishona. And then it says, Beizdi, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, in Malach v'lo idiach tchila, what if you salted it, but you forgot to Hadacha Rishona, yadichen, yim l'chein yushenis, v'yesh omrim, you should just rinse it and salt it again, And some people say it is also. So the Shulchan Aruch brings down 2 days of machlokes. We already pointed out this seems to depend on the lumdus of why we need hadacha kamaisa. If it's to soften the mead or to make sure to get rid of the dirt so the salt won't get used up, then it just wasn't salted properly, but you can start again and salt it again. But if it's because there's dam be'en that's going to be nivla in the basar, and once it's nivla, it's too late, and it should be treif like the yesh osrim. That's what the Shach says in Sif. That's what the Taz also says in Sif Sif Katan Aleph. What's a little unclear is the truth is there are two reasons you could be makel here, and that's the Shach says. That's the Taz says in Sif Katan Zion. The Taz is gotten out, and the Shach is gotten out seems to say like this, depends on the Chakira. The Taz is gotten Zion points out, there's another Svara to say that it might still be kosher salt again, because it could be that even if you hold the dam will be nivla in it, maybe it'll come out if you salt it again. Right? So we're not sure what the machlokas is. Is the machlokas here that the Yeshvatirin hold? That it's just there to soften it or make sure that the melach doesn't use up its power. But nothing bad happened, and therefore it's just salted again. And the Yesh Osrim hold, no, dam got absorbed into it. And therefore it's straight. That's what the Shach and Taz beginning seem to say. Or like Taz says here, no, maybe both mandam agree dam got absorbed into it. They just argue about whether dam that got absorbed through salting can come out through salting or not. Which is the machlokes that we'll get to a little later. Halach l'maistah, Ramah says, v'chein nogin. We are knowing like the Osim, so if you want to know at least for Ashkenazim, for Svardim, seems like the Mechaber didn't totally make up his mind, and he even brought first the Mekila, but at least for us Ashkenazim, for the Ramah, our Psak is clear, the Lundas is clear, the Psak is clear, we hold Me'ikar Adin, like the day of the Smak of the Smag, that the reason, or Ramachar at least, that the reason for Hadacha Kamaisa is to clean off the dam be'en so it won't get absorbed in. Therefore, if you salt without a lacha kamaisa, the meat is treif. If you cut it in half and now there's more dam on the surface, you have to wash it again. And even though the chachila you should soak for a half hour to be yotzi all the deos, if you just rinse off the dam be'en that's on the surface, that's good enough. So it seems that we're able to figure out who we paskin like. The Ramah just continues. This should be familiar to us from Siman Tzadi Aleph. Says even if you only salted a little, we're still machir that counts as mliach groteach and be mavliya the dam inside. Even if it didn't sit for 18 minutes yet, we're still machir that's mliach groteach and it'll be mavliya this dam inside and trape up your kli. Yesh lehatiro, however, the makam hefsid meruba, you can be makel. So this is what the Ramah says normally. Normally the Ramah says that you are, we're machmer, but the makam hefsid meruba, apparently, we can be makel to just rinse it off and salt it again. Which way are we hold makam hefsid meruba? L'chore not like the Ran, because we know from this thing we don't like the Ran. So, makam hefsid meruba, we hold like one of these two reasons. Either Makam Hefsim Ruba or Mako, like the Mordechai, who says that, well, no, it's just to clean it up so the salt doesn't lose its effectiveness, but it doesn't actually make a treif. Or no, we agree with the smog that makes a treif. We just say Makam Hefsim Ruba, even though it became treif, it can become kosher again because you can get that dam out. That we already saw. If it was just rinsed a little, b'dieved, that's good enough. So what does the Ramah end with? He says, b'dieved, if you rinse it a little, that's good enough. Or if you didn't rinse it, but there was 60 times, the piece was 60 times as big as the... The piece was 60 times as big as the dam within it. then we're also makel. Or if we salted one piece that wasn't rinsed with other pieces that were rinsed, the other pieces don't become usher from the piece that was not washed first, because we assume that dam that's on the surface will be nivla into that piece, but it won't be nivla into other pieces. Okay. There's a bit of machlokas here. The achronim, what it means that we're makel b'dieved. Right? We're makel b'dieved. What does it mean we're makel b'dieved? So the shach says makel b'dieved means if it's salted, you don't have to salt it again. But but Rabbi Kiva Eger says that no, maybe b'dieved means if it was salted, you have to salt it again. If it was cooked, then you can eat it. And therefore, he goes back and
questions the shach we saw earlier. Let's just look here. Here is the shach. One second. Here's the case of get the machlokas down. Here is Nishra Chatzi Sha'a. Here is the case of Hudach Heitev. And here is the case of Hudach Tzas.
So, what is the what does the Shach say?
And here is Lo Nimlach Adayin. Nimlach v'lon nitbashel. Nitbashel.
Right? No nimlach adayin means you can do whatever you want. You haven't salted it yet, right? Or you salted it, but you haven't cooked it, or you cooked it. Once you cooked it already, it's too late to salt, because if there was any blood, it got absorbed through cooking, and for sure, it will never leave again. So what does the shach hold? The shach says, this is obviously mutter, right? This is the right way to do it. This is mutter l'chachit. So the shach says, if it was rinsed a little, then if you already salted it, it's mutter. If it was rinsed well, then even if you didn't salt it yet, if it was rinsed well, even if you didn't salt it well, that's good enough. Once you rinsed it well, that's good enough. So the shach is very makel. Says if it was rinsed well, then it's mutter. Don't bother with anything. That's really fine. If it was rinsed a little, then if you haven't salted it yet, wash it well. But if you salted already, it's beseder. Rabbi Kiva Eger argues, and Rabbi Kiva Eger says, obviously, there's nothing to argue about here. This is a. This is a double posture. Rabbi Kiva Eger says no. If it's rinsed a little, and even if it was already salted, you should salt it again. Only if it was already cooked do we say it's mutter. Therefore, he's also machmir one more step here.
And then you have to soak it, and then
if you just rinse it a little, soak it better. If you rinse it a little and salted it, soak it properly and salt it again. If you rinse it a little, salted and cooked it, then nunu, we're maker. What if you rinsed it well? So he also goes one madriga down. He says, if you rinsed it well, if it's already salted, it's okay. Yeah, diach min yishra. But if you haven't salted it yet, we're machmir. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is more machmir than the shach here. One very fascinating thing that comes out of this is, is what's the svara? What's the svara for the kula svara for the kula of hudach tzas b'dieved? So the Rabbi Kiviger just points out an interesting ha'ara, rather. He says in this case, where if you rinsed it a little and then salted it, the Shas said it's beseder. Rabbi Kiviger says, go back and wash it and salt it again. Is this a kula to go back and salt it again? Or is this 100% mutter? You rinsed it a little and you salted it, and now you want to go back and salt it again. So Vager says something very clever. He says this is 100% mutter because it'll be manavshach. If the reason for washing is to clean off the surface, then you washed it a little. That's good enough. If the reason for washing is to soften it so that the salting works, then the solution didn't work. But it'll work this time. Nothing bad happened to it. So it'll be manavshach. If you rinsed it a little, you already got off the surface, Dom, so it couldn't become aser. The worst that could have happened is it just wasn't salted properly, so go back and salt it again. Okay, but that doesn't not consistent throughout Ricky Vager, just over there. There's some, You mean after you salted it?
Yeah.
Well, you do hadacha again and salted. Okay, there's some other nafkaminas they give to this machlokas rishonim as well. The Prima Gadol Mesichah mentions, what if you, very interesting one, this is based on the bounty commercials, what if you have a piece that was soaking and part of the piece was sticking up out of the water? So if you say the reason is to clean it off, and that doesn't work because you didn't clean off the top. If you say the reason is to soften it, then it's like the bounty, right? It spread, makes the water spread through the whole thing, even the part that's not in the water, so the water will spread through the whole thing, it'll be soft. Oh, that's another matter for me now. Lemaisa, let's just finish the gimel. Lo yimlach. Now he comes out to the new halacha. Now that we know how to soak it, right, and hopefully we're in addition to understanding the basic lumdas, getting a practical idea of how to salt, we should really salt also for Shem. What kind of salt do you have to use for salting? So the Gemara says, Lo yimlach b'melech daka ki kemach lo b'melech gasa b'yoshin felz b'melebasar elach b'elach. You shouldn't use very fine salt or very coarse salt. Right, you shouldn't use very fine salt, which is like flour, and you shouldn't use very coarse salt because very fine salt apparently won't be powerful enough. Very coarse salt will just fall off instead of being absorbed in. You need to use medium salt. Right, that's why nowadays we have something called kosher salt. I remember when I was growing up, I mean, most of us done at my grandmother's house. She had a big box of kosher salt on her counter, and I always wondered because I thought all salt was kosher. Like I never heard of trace salt. And, you know, it was only when I was much older that I realized what that was. That's a special kashering salt because our normal salt, even though our regular salt is not really so fine, it's not like kemah, but we're machmir to say our regular salt in the salt shaker is not only a little bigger than kemah, so that's too fine. Instead, hey, we don't want tremendous chunks. Instead, we use what we call kashering salt. Those are medium-sized pieces. V'ein lo melech acher. But if you don't have any other salt except for fine salt, then you can use it. This is based on the Shach that's got in Lamed Zayin. The Shach says, b'di'evet, all salt works. Only l'chachil or machmir on kosher salt, on medium salt. B'di'evet, salt is salt. And therefore, if you don't have anything but kemach dak, but melach dak, then since you don't have anything else, you can rely on the b'di'evet and use it. Why doesn't he say, if all you have is big salt, then you can use it because you're stuck? What? Because you could always, big salt, you can always make smaller. Small salt, you can't, fine salt, you can't make coarser. Coarse salt, you can only make fine. That's what the Shach says. If all you have is melech gasa, then just crush it a little. But if all you have is melech daka, then you can't crazy glue it back together. So you can use it, and b'di'evet, all salt is good enough. So like achilu, use kosher salt. But b'di'eved, we say salt to salt. Because it's not like we're sure that fine salt won't have the power to take out dam. It's just l'chachila or choshesh. Now that we're sure that big salt will fall off, it's l'chachila or choshesh. But b'di'eved, or if you're stuck and you don't have, all you have is fine salt, or, I don't know, all you have is coarse salt, and you have no kalim to crush it with, you know, and you have no flat utensils. Then you can do the melicha anyway. Okay, so Gimel is what we're supposed to get to. We'll continue in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. That's one shita.